Might I say hello to your face?
Hello, everybody.
I'm currently Armand Iannucci, and I'd like to welcome you all to a bright new day on Radio 4.
Now, let's hear what's on Radio 4 today with Arlene Fleming.
Death, disputes, and assassination this afternoon.
So, unless you're listening to an evening repeat, I wish you a very good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. That greeting may sound hollow today.
Is the network in a bad mood, or is it just a sign of the times that it takes itself ever so seriously in the mornings now?
We investigate why families face escalating debts.
I've been hearing some worrying tales of what's claimed to be
growing old.
We also review an oxygen cylinder in a small nursing home on the outskirts of Leeds.
The worst thing that could happen to any family struggling to meet their monthly payments is
disability and sexuality.
From our point of view, the whole thing has been a total disaster.
Britain must be in the grip of a sad moral decline, and radio seems to have played no small part in this ethical slump. In the past, every radio programme had as its signature tune the national anthem, and each morning people would wake up in their beds next to wholesome men and women like Cliff Mitchell-Moore and Barbara Kelly. Nowadays, we leave the house at breakfast time to a chorus of crime statistics from Peter Hobday and Face the Facts, a radiophonic compendium of worldly misdeeds and dangerous factories.
In this week's programme, we systematically set about watering down safety legislation, lied to the government, and generally, so much hot air.
Where the soft, dark underbelly of Britain's carcass is fed to the maggot of public scrutiny.
He's watched with dismay the appalling and seemingly endless death tolls on the Sunday Times that weren't worth the paper they were written on. A story of top civil servants who became in the FA Cup final. It's a shocking story.
Weekends are no brighter. Turning for moral inspiration, we can always attend Sunday, Radio 4's uplifting moral extravaganza, where the joy of the good news is proclaimed in 60 minutes of
atrocities and tragedies, revulsion and shame, good and evil,
chastity and fidelity, fornication and adultery,
an abomination and a perversion,
from an Essex clergyman.
Where we are taught by example from the simple lives of the clergy.
It seems that over 40 priests now carry licensed guns.
Where moral instruction is couched in words of clarity and simplicity.
What do you mean by turn the tide?
Because I think it has exposed the thing and sharpened up what has perhaps been seeping into the church. And when things seep in, you don't see it so sharply. Now it's been sharpened up, we'll act more fully.
And where difficult issues are tackled with sensitivity and carefully handled language.
Now, Bishop, the press have accused you of fudging the issue and saying that there ought to be more discipline on clergy who are practising homosexuals. Did you fudge?
No, we certainly didn't fudge.
Everywhere we turn or tune today reeks of high seriousness. This is the decade of the frown, where the concept of laughter has been poo-pooed in favour of the grim realities of Michael Ignatieff. This change in countenance has come as a response to the shocking collapse in standards of behaviour throughout the country. Gangs of hooligans in our shopping centres, thugs in our streets, Kenneth Clarks in our treasury are now all commonplace. Parts of the body are now being assaulted that had never even been talked about 50 years ago. Recently, ever since receiving a cheque to research this programme, I've come across more and more broadcast illustrations of Britain's recent moral degeneration. For a start, moral standards and time checks have become rather looser these days.
You're listening to Today on Radio 4 with Peter Hobday and Chris Lowe. It's 8 o'clock on Monday, the 8th of March. The headlines this morning.
And there were further worrying signs at this year's Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols from King's College, Cambridge, the traditional Christmas broadcast of the finest English choral music and coughing. This year, however, the cherubic serenity was destroyed in the opening moments of celebration when it became clear that the bulk of the choir had turned up for the occasion drunk. Up and down the land, the behaviour of churchgoers has deteriorated considerably over the last 12 months. Foul language and spitting has become commonplace among clergy and laypeople, and major services have had to be policed ever since last May's altar invasion by the congregation of St. Stephen's in Leicester.
We sing the hymn,
Judge Eternal.
Policemen, and there's a fight breaking out. It really is an incredible scramble. There are three policemen in the thick of it. There simply aren't enough policemen on the ground, and both of them will need hospital treatment after this.
Clearly, our Sunday mornings have changed in character recently. Some lay the blame on Sunday trading and point to evidence that the extension of supermarket opening hours is having an unmistakable influence on church services.
Father, when we look at the world today and think what the future will bring us through these turbulent years...
Natural rhubarb, 9 to 10 pence a pound.
Help us to forge through the suffering.
Marie, check out 4, please.
To see that our hope is in you, Lord.
English cucumbers, from £3 to £3.80 a tray.
Amen.
We sing, glory to God in the highest.
Others have pointed the finger at revisers of the Bible, who, it is claimed, in updating the Good Book, have replaced the power and majesty of the old authorized version with something blander.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Physically and metaphorically.
And the earth was without
social responsibility.
And darkness was upon the face of the
deep, long-lasting friendships.
And God saw the light that it was good.
And that's great.
Whatever the reason, it's clear that Britain is sick at heart. In the past, people treated you with kindness. Muggers often tipped you. And the criminal element was a lot more cultivated than it is today, as is revealed by this taped confession from the Cray brothers.
Looking back now...
Well, it's very difficult.
It's been known for some time, of course, that the country's morals were in decline. Statistics show that in 1955 we had 42 morals, that by 1965 we had 37, and that by 1980 we were down to just 3 morals and a scruple, all of which were kept under round-the-clock supervision in a small rectory on the Sussex coast. But their protection was in vain, and earlier this year the unthinkable happened. In a sermon at Westminster Abbey, the Archbishop of Canterbury, before a congregation of 500 and being listened to by scores more on radio, had all the oxygen sucked out of him to create the country's first official moral vacuum.
My own enthronement as successor to Thomas Becket falls on the anniversary earlier.
So clearly it's time to do something about this sad and somewhat messily stained state of affairs. Since the medium is the message, and the message is that we're all destined for eternal spikes if we don't clean up our act, perhaps the medium itself could do with changing. Under the supervision of good newscaster Martin Lewis, who eats a bowl of moral fibre every morning for breakfast, we've now become more accustomed to news items that present a happier side to the story.
It's reported in Cambodia that the Khmer Rouge has
not
withdrawn from the country's peace talks and
not
abandoned its compound in the
sunny
capital, Phnom Penh. In a letter to Cambodia's head of state, Prince Norodom Sihanouk, the Khmer Rouge leader, Khieu Samphan, said,
"Hello." Meanwhile, 14 moral guardians have been appointed by the BBC to remove offending words from sensitive broadcasts. In particular, Woman's Hour has come under special surveillance. In the past, its forthright anatomical discussions have come under fire from frightened men and militant eunuchs. With the BBC's charter up for renewal in a few years' time, the corporation has now become particularly sensitive to complaints from these influential groups and has installed a special orifice muffler to block out offending references before transmission.
You've had a baby and you go back to your exercise classes. You can't get through it because you yourself. You can't go on a long car journey or to the theatre. Even shopping is out because there are no... One in four women suffers from usually after they've had or an operation like a to me. Sometimes it's a symptom of advancing age.
But the campaign for the moral high ground has excited itself further by taking on the record industry. Recently, scores of enraged rock fans have been discovering Christian lyrics hidden subliminally in their CDs and cassettes.
Christ is my
sunshine, my only sunshine. He makes me happy when skies are gray.
Praise the Lord together, singing hallelujah. Angel, come and play.
This fashion for sound corruption was legitimized recently by the government. Worried by the continual and apparently irreversible decline in poll ratings, it turned its attention to the nation's morals and brought out the Family Values remix of You Sexy MF by Prince.
Come here, baby.
My mind is entirely open on that.
We will extend thirsty regulation.
Hard AQ.
Yesterday's mashed potatoes.
All of them, you can get a hug and a kiss. Come here, baby. Yeah.
I've got a cold.
Sexy motherfucker.
I want no complacency in any quarter.
Come here, baby. Yeah.
You sexy motherfucker.
Government interference has extended as far as the BBC, long regarded as a hotbed of political subversives and scrounger continuity announcers. Recent broadcasting restrictions have been applied to challenging and seditious transmissions, such as Third Ear, with its corrupting focus on the arts. Legislation now bans the appearance on radio of any one of Third Ear's presenters, although the BBC gets round this difficulty by revoicing the programme using members of Sinn Féin.
This culture then presumably is defined by the label National Heritage, Patrick Wright.
Well, it's interesting, because, I mean, what David's just...
What David's just described as culture is a way of life. I mean, his culture is a thing which keeps everyone together.
I'm a wife. I'm a mother. And I'm a grandmother as well. I'm a wife. I'm a mother.
I'm standing on the bank of the BBC's watershed, a 40-foot-wide river delta just outside John Burt's office. Here, all the appalling scenes of human degradation accumulated in BBC drama series are regularly gathered up by a team of Greek fishermen and redirected through the watershed to come out over the other side at 9 o'clock at night out of harm's way. And we can hear just across the watershed there at 10:30 a disputed extract from a late night drama series featuring Martin Jarvis and Jenny Agutter. But if I get one of the fishermen to bring it over here, you can listen to how it first started off earlier today.
Going home, going home.
As an extract from My Music, altogether a more wholesome morsel of programming. Would that radio and television was like this 24 hours a day.
I'm just going home. It's not far.
I'm now inside the shed itself. It's made out of 4-inch thick steel plates in order to withstand the disgusting but rather pleasurable scenes which pass through it. Not everything that comes through here makes it to the other side, and this shed is littered with the remains of human buttocks, Dennis Potter characters, and the word fist. It's a ghastly place, and I'm off to John Burt's for a shower.